save it.
Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, members of the council and fellow citizens of Arroyo Grande. Tonight, we offer first a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for the recent rainfall we have had and humbly ask for more to preserve both our local environment and our local economy. Be with our city council and other decision-making agencies as they consider safe methods of artificial rainmaking and adopt methods of conservation, for conservation of energy is one of the best methods we have for combating climate change. Thank you, God, for giving us the gift of life, to live on a planet unique in the universe, in a country where democracy yet lives, in an environmentally progressive state, and in a city blessed with a city council that works for the good of our citizens every week of the year. Continue to be with us and guide us. Amen.
And I'll go ahead and give you guys the opportunity to get up and tell us what your Campfire Girl groups have been doing. If you want to just step up to the podium, that'd be great.
So, hi, I'm Emery Edelman, and I'm part of the Discovery Group, and what we have been doing lately is we've been doing our cooking torches, which is, like, we're learning about how restaurants operate and how they make their food, and we went to Lickety Split and made cupcakes. It was really fun. And I love doing community service for Campfire. It makes me feel very helpful in our community, and I really love our field trips, which we're actually doing one this weekend where we get to go to Santa Barbara Zoo and spend the night there, so it's really awesome. Thank you.
I'm Jessica. I'm in the older girls group, Horizon group, so I'm working on my Wohilo, which is a really big binder, all of with different parts. So lately, we finished parts of our choices and decisions on laws. We went over laws, city laws. We went over resumes, job applications. I'm trying to think of all the other stuff. There was some other stuff, but I can't remember. So I have to scrap it in my big book and write about what I learned.
To encourage others to write letters on March 20th. You can mail the letters, put it on a pillow, or in a lunchbox. We would also like to present you with campfire candy as a token of our appreciation for allowing us to present information about Absolutely Incredible Kid Day. And finally, we would like to encourage every adult to write a letter of love, support, and appreciation to a kid. To a child on March 20th. Thank you from the Discovery and Horizon Campfire Club.
Well, thank you for that. And, we hope you guys will come back and see us again sometime in the future. We'll move on then to agenda review, and I'll ask for a motion that all resolutions and ordinances be read in name only.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. With that, we'll move on to closed session. And we did have a closed session, but we have no report at this time. Do we have closed session? Yes? Not with the notes, that's done. Okay. And with that, I got to step ahead of myself here. All right. So we'll move on then to special presentations. This is for an honorary proclamation recognizing March 20th as Absolutely Incredible Kid Day. And if Sherry McCarthy is here.
Bring my sidekicks with me.
All right.
You bet.
Here, this is an honorary proclamation recognizing March 20th, 2014 as Absolutely Incredible Kids Day. Whereas March 20th, 2014 has been declared by Campfire USA, a national youth development organization, as Absolutely Incredible Kid Day, and whereas Campfire USA commemorates its 8th annual Absolutely Incredible Kid Day on this date, and whereas as part of the celebration of children on this day, adults are encouraged to send letters of love and appreciation to young people in their lives, and whereas the Campfire USA mission pledges a firm commitment to building caring, confident youth leaders. An extension of that commitment is handed to caring adults through this event to explain feelings in a letter or note that has the profound ability to make a lasting and positive impact in our country. And now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Jim Guthrie, Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Arroyo Grande, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby proclaim March 20th, 2014 as Absolutely Incredible Kid Day and encourage and urge all adults to participate in composing a letter to the children in their lives. And I appreciate you guys coming here to accept this today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll put you stick right here, and I'll leave this way.
Thank you.
Hold the mic down.
You think I'm short?
I would never say that.
I didn't think so. I'm Sherry McCarthy. I've been a volunteer with Campfire for about 17 years now, and am the current chairperson for Absolutely Incredible Kid Day for our council. And I just want to thank the council for recognizing the significance of Absolutely Incredible Kid Day by presenting Campfire with this proclamation. This is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to take time and acknowledge a young person and to let them know how special they are to us. I think we as adults all need to make the time in our hectic, busy schedules and just, to lift a child's self-esteem by writing and acknowledging their contributions to our lives. And so I just want to thank you again for recognizing that fact and the opportunity to bring it to your attention. So thank you very much.
With that, we'll move on to the community comments and suggestions. This is a public comment period. There's an invitation for members of the community to speak on items which are not on the agenda. I will let you know that I am going to give a separate opportunity if you want to speak on items that are on the consent agenda, just so you know that they're separate parts. For the record.
My name is Otis Page. I live at 606 Myrtle Street in Arroyo Grande. As I enter my 84th year, I am compelled to reflect on the fact that I have a grandson-in-law who is married to my granddaughter. He is a Navy SEAL, Lieutenant Commander, 2 Silver Stars, 1 with Bronze with Valor, who puts his life on the line and kills Comet on the tax measure. That is not right. It is a tax. As you know, I oppose the $66 tax being voted on in April. The concern here is my criticism of the FCFA board and its implementation of the matter. So I thank you for bearing with me a little bit. I have to give you the background on the matter, which you are probably familiar with. In August of 2013, the board received a proposal by consultants to administer a tax on property owners. The proposal was approved in September 2013 and was brought to the AG Council, your council, by a member by Joe Costello on October 8th. The consultant made a presentation. Various concerns were stated by council members, particularly about the initiation of the engineer's report, substantiating the benefits of the tax increase. Three other council members joined Costello and approved Costello's initiative to establish an assessment district following Prop 2A10. This begs the question, is Costello's conduct as a FICA board member in conflict with his obligation to the citizens of Arroyo Grande on this tax matter? That is for your council to decide, and I don't need the comment here tonight. All right. Over 2 months later, on December 20th, 2012, the FCFAA board approved the consultant's engineering report and made plans to send ballots to property owners and tax increases on February 15th. So in a relatively short time, this all happened. On February 5th, 2014, the FCFAA board denied the inclusion of an opposition statement with a ballot explanation on the tax increase to property owners. They denied our chance to speak in opposing this. On February 13th, 2014, the board called a meeting with only 2 days' notice. There were two items in the agenda. First, the approval of the revised engineering report.
I apologize.
That's okay, Tim. I'll buy you a drink later.
I should have turned it off.
Okay. So there are two items. The approval of the revised engineer's report. A dynamic report, evidently. And approval to send the ballots on February 15th. At the meeting of the board, a letter was presented establishing the areas of conflict, the attempt to reconcile the differences. In that letter, we said this matter would probably go to a grand jury, and the grand jury's specification says you do your things to mediate, to try to seek agreement on things. We've never had a reply to that letter. Now I want to focus on the engineer's report. This is a key document. Have you, as council members representing the citizens, property owners of Arroyo Grande, read and understand this report? As related to you by the consultant in the presentation on October 8th, the engineer's report is a key legal document justifying the benefits of the tax. So it's a benefits analysis as a result of the monies being raised. I suggest that if you have not read the report, you should, for it can be and will be challenged in a number of ways. In the discussion on October 8th, Mr. Guthrie led the parade on asking questions about the legal precedents that bear on this matter, and he was correct in doing so. There are a number of reasons why these Proposition 218 matters have been challenged, and I'm suggesting to you this one will be challenged, no question about it, and I may show the tip of the iceberg, in a sense, as some of the issues that we see. The report alleges benefits to be derived by the tax increase, but it is biased by the prior decision to apply a nominal standard, key term in the engineering report, a $66 tax against single-family residences. Single-family residences is a great majority for over 90% of the property owners in Arroyo Grande and in the whole area served by the FCA. Okay? I think you know where I'm coming from. There's been a number of letters written on this issue. How is this $66 derived? Well, I heard a nice kind of surprise what I'm going to be saying pretty soon to you. I think you'll be surprised. But the nominal standard of a single-family resident makes no differentiation between large and small residences, disregarding huge swing in insured values. I talked to a number of real estate people, insurance people, and they said, what is this? It is a one-shoe-fits-all standard adopted prior to the engineering's assessment of the benefits. This is not only inequitable, it doesn't make sense, because the application of the tax in other property areas comport to size and value. It's a fact. You get the rollout and you see where the taxes are being administered, and it doesn't even make sense to comport what's in the engineering report. Further, in the assessment of benefits, the report attempts to conform to the requirements of Prop 218. Now, here's a key point. But it only endorses benefits presently derived before the tax increase, before rationalizing other areas the money supports. You're raising $1 million when the basis is $3.5 million. So what you have here is you're rationalizing this margin, and that margin is on the base that already receives the benefits. Okay? Are you getting an indication here why there may be challenges? And the report makes no attempt to establish the negative benefits derived if the tax measure fails. Furthermore, in that respect, this council has not, by resolution, approved that tax increase. You gave Costello the permission to proceed to form the district, but that was not a specific resolution to approve the tax increase. And I suggest that should be done. I know you probably support this, and so you ought to do it by resolution. Furthermore, there's no resolution that if this measure fails, that you're going to pick up the difference, that you will not make up the difference. There's no resolution if this vote fails, and you know this vote's risky. If it goes down, and I don't think it's going to go down, I think this vote has failed, it's going to be approved. But if it fails, all right, then what are you faced with? Everybody gets 10 cups and go around to get the money? No, you need a resolution from this board that you're not going to do it, all right? And I don't think you will. And the report makes no attempt to establish the victim. I just mentioned that. Now, here's my final points, and I'll sit down. Why is this a problem? Prop 218 is designed to satisfy the whole budget requirement, not an exercise of Band-Aid financing that only satisfies a budgetary requirement imposed by the termination of a SAFER grant. It's a great measure, 218. It's the issue here that you can finance the whole ball of wax, and you're going to go at risk now to get a vote to just support the difference. Okay? That's not what 218 is really intended for. And this could be a basis for another additional challenge, misapplication of the law. So now I'm going to come to a conclusion that may surprise you. Where do I come from on this deal? Well, I want you to understand that I was in favor of merging the police department. I was in favor of the new police building. And the era I saw at the time, you were selling policemen, but you're not selling the real security that the police mean to us, with 101 dividing our community, and with a risky scene that we see today with drugs and so on. I was very much in favor of that. I'm very much in favor of supporting the police, and I'm very much in favor of the firemen. So now what I see here is an opportunity lost. We are in an avenue, an environment, where kids with cell phones are charged $40 a month to communicate. All right? And now we're talking about $66 in 1 year for the fire department. Here we see a $40 charge on the bi-monthly bill if applied to all property owners. Would only finance the FCFA, it would also relieve the general fund contributions to establish and solicit public hearings on the engineering report. at its next meeting, that's before the election, so the citizens of AG, Arroyo Grande, the property citizens, citizen owners in Arroyo Grande, are informed of the council's action approving the FCA's implementation of a tax increase on all its property owners. After all, gentlemen, it's election year. Thank you.
The woman in, on the council.
Thank you, Ms. Page. Are there any other members of the audience who'd like to speak on something that is not on tonight's agenda?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the City Council and the staff. Kevin J. McCarthy from Garden Street. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your work, both physical and mental, that went into the letter that you provided after the City Council meeting last to the Board of Supervisors. I especially appreciate your request that the Board remain vigilant. And in the future, I'd like to be able to continue the conversation. There's a lot happening in other communities on this issue, and I think we can learn from other communities. And I'd like to forward data to you in the future, and I promise that it'll be vetted for source as well. So, but again, thank you very much.
Anyone else on anything that is not on tonight's agenda?
Well, this was on the agenda. Can I have your signature?
Any other takers on community comments and suggestions? Okay, with that, we'll then move on to the consent agenda. Again, this is an item which is generally where we generally adopt all of these items in a single motion. At this point, I'll open it up to anyone in the audience who would like to speak to items that are on the consent agenda. Your name and address for the record.
I'll tell you my name, but I'm not going to tell you my address because it's irrelevant. My name is Julie Tacker, and I am speaking tonight to item 8J, and that is the assessment ballots that belong to the city, and whether or not you cast them in the affirmative or in the negative. Your staff is recommending a yes vote. I recommend you abstain from the vote. If you support the assessment, then vote your property. This is the people's property. There's 52 of them. And that puts your thumb on the scale. You do not have to be a heavyweight. You do not have to levy the people who will ultimately be responsible for any assessment. And I would ask that you decline from voting at all those 52 properties. I would also ask that on a future agenda, in the very near term, that you ask your representative to take back to the Five Cities Fire Authority the idea that whatever the outcome, that you hold, really only if the outcome is yes, hold that outcome in abeyance until you have a quote from CAL FIRE. I think you need an apples and apples comparison for the services that you seek that include the SAFER grant firefighters. You also need an apples and apples comparison for the services that you can afford without the assessment. And then you might even ask for an assessment or a quote, a proposal from CAL FIRE for even better services, for something that you might want in the future. And I know that Arroyo Grande looked at CAL FIRE independently for your own fire services sometime in the past, but I think the three communities need to do this together. And when you look at your location, you are surrounded by CAL FIRE services. Pismo Beach, Napomo, the airport, Avila, the Oceano Strand. The Cal Fire responds to all those areas and has departments through all around you. And they are the agency that backs up your fire departments. You're in a cooperative agreement with them already. So the economies of scale that you could... So we had to go to Plan B, and Plan B has been really a win for our community, and that was to go with Cal Fire. We've had a subsequent fire special tax that did pass, and we enjoy three paramedics on every call. And that's a choice that our community made, to have that higher level of service. We do enjoy a higher level of service than what you're getting here at Five Cities Fire. So again, if you just get the ratepayers who you answer to, keep your thumb off the scale with your own properties. These are the people's properties. Let them vote at home, and that will tell the city which way that the ballots will ultimately go. The voters decide. The homeowners decide. So, and I'm available for questions if you have them, but I really think you have an opportunity here to serve your community well and do it at the best rate for those ratepayers.
Again, Otis Page, 606 Meadow Street. Not to repeat what Julie has just said, I was frankly surprised when I saw that item in tonight's agenda. I understand that you want this vote to pass, but you ought to leave it up to the citizens to pass it and not use your leverage voting the city's properties. I think that's wrong. And politically, what it means, if you do that, you're going to make some people unhappy. One way or the other, you're going to make somebody unhappy. The interesting thing about this whole problem, and I'm kind of a committee of one, no one has told me that I'm wrong in what I'm saying. Everybody's been saying to me, go get a Otis. Well, that's not my objective. I just want the truth to be known here. And I really think you're missing the point when you could be financing the whole ball of wax and not a $66 a year charge. It's ridiculous. And I ask you, if you're going to come down and vote one way or the other, it will be remembered this year for at least three of you.
On the consent agenda? Okay. Are you going to comment on something on the consent agenda?
Okay. Thank you. My name is April McLaughlin, and I live here in Arroyo Grande. I'm a Five Cities native, and I wanted to address your buy local policy that you guys will be talking about in a little while. I came before you before with the understanding that you already had a buy local policy, and now I guess you guys want to throw some money at it. You had the opportunity to make the farmers market local, and you chose not to. So I'm not really sure what you guys consider local and what you don't consider local. So I'd like you to consider that and figure that out in your minds when you throw $5,000 at it down the road. I am a local. I won't shop the village on Saturdays because it's a disaster with traffic. So I'm not buying my meat from Henry, and I'm not getting my hair cut by Tony, I'm not getting my nails done, and I'm not doing any of those things because of the way the traffic is on Saturdays. What I am doing is I'm going to Pismo, and I'm shopping there, and I'm shopping at other locally owned Five Cities businesses. So if you want my local business, try to consider what local is when the local restaurants here in the village use U.S. Foods to make their foods and other food distributing companies, and they're not really shopping farmers markets either. So, you know, you can look away or you can, you know, be bored, but really think, what does buy local mean to you? And I hope that you will think about that when you look at this policy. Thank you.
On the consent agenda? All right, then I'll bring it back to the council. Are there any items on the consent agenda anyone would like to see pulled this evening?
Let's go ahead and pull AJ for a moment. I do have a couple comments to make.
Any other? go ahead and pull 8J, so then I'll entertain a motion to adopt consent agenda items 8A through 8I.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. If we could have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes. That will move on to 8J, and I guess we'll let you kick that off, Joe.
Just quickly, I want to bring forward the initial staff report that we received had an error, and it's been corrected by staff, indicating that the assessment would increase by 4% per year, which is not correct. Assessment can only be adjusted for inflation based on CPI.
Having this come before the public. We've done it before. We actually got to this point because we have had public hearings. So to say that we haven't had public hearings is not correct.
I didn't say that. You had a public comment.
Yeah, actually we did. We allowed public comment. We did. So, well, we did allow public comment. The fact that nobody commented is not my issue. We allowed it. I'm not going to get into back and forth with you. We can talk about it later. But
you ought to be right in what you're saying, Jim.
This is not the place to go back and forth with you. I'm telling you, I'm responding to comments from the public, and I'm allowed to do that as a council person. So please respect that. The other thing that needs to come out is that Joe does not act as a single individual. He has come before this council and asked for our opinion on a number of occasions on this issue. And quite honestly, I have called Steve Adams and challenged him on this very same issue, and he can confirm that. I've been frustrated with this issue. It's been very frustrating for me that the fire department marketed themselves to begin with as being a cost savings, and now they're coming before us and asking for money. That's frustrating for me. Steve gave me an explanation that I can live with. Doesn't mean it's any less frustrating for me. Ultimately, it is before the voters. And ultimately, the voters will make a decision, and we owe it to them to allow them to make that decision. I'm still frustrated. Steve can tell you very straightforward how I felt about it. You're welcome to ask about my conversation with him. But it's not fair to put this on Joe. This was a council decision in which Joe came before the council and asked our opinion. We have had other assessments that have... that have been approved over time. This is not new. We did it for Lopez Dam. The point is that this is clearly a decision by the public to make. And I think Mr. Page brings up a very good issue. What do we do if it fails? And I don't think we have an answer to that quite yet. I don't feel comfortable that we do have an answer to the issue of what if it fails. And the fascinating thing to me about the police station was we had two bond issues which failed, and all of a sudden we figured out how to pay for it. So that's a frustrating issue for me, how we can have two bond issues which fail, and yet we somehow figure out a way to pay for the police station. So in that same kind of spirit, I think about the same thing with the fire department. If it fails, are we going to find some other way to pay for it? And if we can, maybe we should be doing that now. But based on the way it's been explained to me, that can't happen. So you need to understand, as a member of the public, that this decision was not done in a vacuum. It was done with a lot of thought and a lot of... And I'll stand by my record. Election coming forward, I'll totally stand by my record. We have all asked the hard questions, and I think Mr. Page brings up a good one if it fails. But ultimately, I want to defend Joe and understand that he has never done anything independent of this council. He has always come forward to this council and asked our opinion. So those are my comments, Mr. Mayor.
You know, I'll echo those comments. In fact, we looked at this twice in two different versions, and in the first version, we even though the other Oceano and Grover Beach, even though Oceano and Grover Beach were in favor of the other measure, we actually suggested that we shouldn't be in favor of, and then Joe did carry that back, and it was changed. So with that, I'll look for a motion from.
I move we adopt AJ.
Second.
A motion and a second. We can have roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes. And with that, we'll move on to. There are no public hearings. Apologize, guys. I've not really practiced at this. there is no continued business, no new business, so we can move on there to council communication. Any communications from council?
I do, actually. I want to publicly talk about the Bridge Street Bridge for a minute. I called Steve Adams and I talked to him about it, but I want to make this part of the public record. I'm really concerned about whether or not the city, when they do the staff report and when they think about this project, are holding themselves to the same standards as a private citizen would that owns property in the village. So what I'm going to ask you to do, Steve, if you could, is if you can forward a copy of the current staff report, if it's done so that we get free federal money, we have to look at it in terms of what would the standard be if it were someone else. So all I'm asking you to do when you do the report is keep that in mind, that when the city looks at us doing business, they need to know that we're held to the same standards as anybody else. Because if we're not, then they have a good reason to get up and complain. Why are you holding us to one standard and we're doing something else? Because that's just not correct in my mind. So again, I'm not saying you're doing that. Don't get me wrong. You've been really sensitive to the fact that there's historical significance there, and I'm not saying you haven't done it in the staff report. I just want to give you kind of a forewarning that that's the way I'm going to be looking at things, and I would hope that that's the way it comes out, is that we are looking at it from a from the same standard we would ask anybody else to do. So anyway, those are my comments. I hope they make sense. I don't want to be perceived as the public has one standard and the city has a different standard. That's all. So thank you.
If I could just get a couple clarifications on releasing the report. One, the report's not done. I'm not sure
that's fine.
What's being requested.
Yeah, if the report's not done yet, I'm fine with it. But it seemed I had a sense that you kind of knew where you were going. You had a number of options and they were kind of fleshed out. If they're not and you're still working on it, that's fine. I'm just trying to say that I think we need to look at it through the prism of what would the public do and what would the public be held to account for if it was a building down in the village, or, you know, and they said we want to do X, Y, and Z, and we want to do it this way because it's the most affordable. We might say, no, it doesn't meet the standard. It doesn't meet the historical standard. I don't want to look at this just from the idea that, okay, so we get federal money and it's the cheapest, therefore that's the option we should go with. I want to go with, because if you start chipping away at the historical significance of the village, pretty soon it's completely changed and the context has changed, and I don't want to do that because the village is a big draw for the city. So anyway,
just keep in mind that what's coming forward at this point is just a discussion of the alternatives to establish preferred alternative, and then we go into the environmental review process, and that's the same process that any project would go through, and does look at the historical significance, and like any other project, it'll come back to council for the final decision, and you're the ones that make that determination. But I understand. I think I understand your intent, and we will make sure that those standards are at least incorporated into our analysis, and we can present that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Okay. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. When it comes to the council for the initial time that we look at it, will there be costs associated with it with each alternative, or will that come later with the second meeting?
There's preliminary cost will be associated with that. But I think the one thing that we're trying to emphasize, and for the public to understand too, this is just to this initial decision is to develop some information to actually do further study on the alternatives. Like I said, we're just entering the environmental review.
Okay. Stage. And then we should mention that there's a Bridge Street Bridge Stakeholders Meeting on March 12th at 8:30 a.m. in the second on the second floor of the City Council Chambers. If anyone's interested in attending that, I think that's the date, March City Hall, right? Not City Council Chambers. So that if anybody was interested, they could go listen to.
I have a meeting to go to, but thanks.
Okay. Well, not just you, but anybody else too. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Any other council communications?
I do have a piece to report on. I've been in a dialogue with the sanitation people, the garbage company. They did a great job back in the fall of 2013 of letting everyone know that they were going to change the pickup day for the entire city of Rio Grande to Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And then as things have turned out, that did not happen and will not happen. I've had several conversations with management over there. There are certain parts of the city that are actually on Wednesday. There are certain parts that are Tuesday, and my neighborhood were on Thursday. The company has contacted everyone in my neighborhood directly to let them know the changes, because I know some people are still putting their cans down on the wrong day. And apparently they're also putting out hangers in some neighborhoods. But I just let people know that I have had conversations with the company. They are responsive and letting people know what your pickup day is, but the entire city is not on a Wednesday pickup at this point.
No.
No, I have none. So then we'll move on to staff communications.
None, sir.
All right. And that will bring